Miles, and he turned to you. What would you like him to tell you? What would you like him to tell you? I think the greatest things that Jesus can tell you is that he loves you. That he will never leave you. You belong to him. So thank you, Jesus, for your beautiful presence today. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. They stepped out of heaven that we may come to know you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise Jesus. Are you ready for the message this morning? Or should we just continue to worship? Thanks, guys, for leading us into his presence. Praise Jesus. Thank you, parents, for bringing your kids and for them to sit with you. Next Sunday, we're going to have Sunday school. So, thank you for Leanne. The message today is a tale of two kings. Not two cities. A tale of two kings. Should it say August 13th? Oh, there we go. Tale of two kings. One of those kings is called a man after God's own heart. But the other king, God says, I regret that I ever chose him. In Acts 13:22, it says, but God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about him, whom God said, I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my, whose? My own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. It is Samuel, the prophet, who pronounces it first time in 1 Samuel 13. Where he says, he's speaking to Saul. Saul has disobeyed God. And at this point, Samuel turns to Saul and says, but now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of the people because you have not kept the Lord's commands. And here it is, my friends. You too are chosen. Maybe not to be kings of Israel, but you are chosen. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, let's read it together. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You were called out of the darkness to declare his praises. You are called to be a royal priesthood. You're called to be his possession. And how many would like to be a man or woman after God's own heart? So what's the difference between those two kings? Let us start this story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. There is the Philistines and there's Israel, and the armies are facing each other. And Paul alluded to it last week. And Goliath is stepping out and taunting them for 40 days. And this is what it says about Israel and about Saul. Then the Philistine, that is the Goliath, said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were, what? Dismayed and terrified. My friends, Saul had a problem. And the problem was that he was afraid. And this wasn't the only time he was afraid, but he was afraid. Can I just say something about when your Goliath, when your problems are bigger than God, then you live in fear. When your Goliath, when your problems are bigger than God, then you live in fear. And that was Saul's problem. Now Saul had also had problems with fear of people. How many have heard the story of Saul? There was another time, and this comes 1 Samuel 15. Samuel said, "You were once small in your own eyes." He said, "You did not become the head of the tribes of Israel." And he goes down to, it says, "Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you bounce on plunder and do evil in the eyes of God?" And so go down to 30 and you'll see his response. This is how you know his heart. Saul replied, "I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before the Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God." What's she worried about? Is she worried about his sin? No, he's worried about what his elders think. He's worried about what other people think. And my friends, that was the root of his disobedience, was that he was afraid of what other people would think of him. And so he did things to please people rather than please God. That is one of the main differences between Saul and David. Can I just say this too? I actually feel, you know, I think David did worse things than Saul. Yet, at the end of the day, David is called a man after God's own heart. So God saw it differently than I see it. Because he saw his heart. Then on the scene comes David. Do you know that the word David is mentioned more in the Bible except for Jesus than anyone else, any other name? David steps in. He's 17 years old. And he hears the Goliath defying the Israel and also defying God. And in 17 verse 45, I think it is, you see him coming against Goliath. He comes against him with these words. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." David comes and says, "I know the God who is behind me." So, then he goes on to say this in verse, "All those gathered there will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." He's saying, my friends, today you're just going to see God winning this battle, and he's going to take all you Philistines and put them into my hands. Somebody needs to know this today, that the battle is not yours. The battle is God's. Amen? And he gave his testimony of the battle with alcoholism. And when Andy surrendered, it became God's battle, not Andy's battle. And he won. God is our winner. Amen. So David knows something that Saul does not know. He knows that God is greater than the Goliath. Because he knows that his battle is not his. Let me just say this to you. David picks up the slingshot and shoots. He knows that the power to kill Goliath is not his power, it's not his strength, it's not his skill to shoot it. He knows that it's the power of God behind the slingshot that's going to kill the Goliath. So let me also say this, my friends. When you come up against Goliath and you come up against fear, it is not your ability or your words in themselves that is going to kill the Goliath. It is the power of God behind you. Amen? And your slingshot is not the slingshot. This is the slingshot. This is it. This is the word of God that he has given to you so that when you are facing the Goliath, you can declare what God is saying. And my friends, God is with you. He told the disciples, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Go and turn the world upside down. And you're not going to be able to do it in your own strength and in your own power. But are you going to be able to do it? Because I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to ever leave you. Amen. And he's saying that to the church in 2020 in the midst of a pandemic. I rise up, my friends. And here comes the question that I wanted to settle with today. We would think that David got this confidence because God said, go and kill Goliath. And there was times when David prayed and God specifically told him, this is what I want to do. But I believe in this time, he didn't know that. I don't believe that David at any moment heard God say, go and kill the Goliath. So what happened? What happened is this. That in the secret place, God knew the heart of God. And when he heard this man blaspheming God and coming against Israel, who was God's people, something rose up in him and says, no! That is not the will of God. Not because he heard God says do this, but because he knew that God was rising up and he was going to rise up with God. In 1955, there was a little black woman, 42 years old, getting on the bus. Back then, there was segregation. The black sat in the back, the white sat in the front. She sat in the front seat of the black section. And the white was filling up, and so the bus driver stopped, stood up and said, her name was Rose Parks. Rosa Parks. Stand up and give your seat to the white man. And something rose up in her and she said, no. And she was asked, did you ever hear God say that you're going to be the mother of the civil rights movement in the 1950s and 60s? He said, no, I never heard that. But she said, I listened to my grandfather's devotions. I listened to my grandmother's prayers. And I knew from the scriptures that Israel stood up against Pharaoh. I knew that God was a God of justice. And he loved the blacks, the whites, the women, the males, the Jews, the Gentiles. And we are all one. And this was God stood up. And it was like she just stood up with God. And paid the price. She lost her job. She was threatened. She was persecuted for her standing. But she says this, I didn't know that God told me to do this, but I just knew that God was with me. I knew that he was the one giving me the strength and the power to stand up against the enemy. My friends, may the church of 2020 have the courage to stand up against the fear and the intimidation and the lies and the things that comes against the enemy, that comes against the people of God and our communities. It doesn't come because David heard the voice and go and do this. No, but because he knew the heart of God. How do I know the heart of God? I know it from here. When God speaks to me and he shares me with me how he feels. Amen? Are you with me? Now here comes the doubt. You see, David wasn't all spiritual. How many knows that when you're led by the Spirit, you're sons and daughters of God? But you're not always led by the Spirit. Sometimes you're led by the flesh. And David was too. And when, just give a couple examples of this. When David was pursued by Saul, which happened shortly after this, he was afraid. Can I just say something about this fear? Fear doesn't mean that you actually don't tell God. That doesn't mean you just push it down and says, I'm not afraid. I think you know what? I think David was actually afraid. But he overcame his fear because he knew God. And you will find when you read the Psalms that many times David declares to God how he feels. And so don't push it just down, but declare to God how you feel. And let God minister power, courage, and strength to you when you dearly need it. But there was a time when David was pursued by Saul, which was for the next, I think, 15 years. 10 years, anyway. 13 years. And he made a mistake. How many made a mistake when he was led by the flesh? So in so what happened was, David went to the high priest and says, please give me some food and a sword. And the high priest was suspicious. Why is David here all by himself? When he's the captain of the guard. So he lied. How many know that's an indication of the flesh? He lied and said, Saul sent me on a special mission, so do you have some food and a sword? And the high priest gave him the food and the sword. And then he left, and Saul got the wind of it. And he went and he killed the high priest and all the other priests. I think it was 80 priests killed by Saul because the high priest had given him, David, a bread and a sword. Except there was one son of the priest who went and told David. In 1 Samuel chapter 22. The son is Abiathar. He said to Abiathar, that day when I was there, I knew, I can't pronounce that name, so sorry. I knew he would be sure to tell Saul, I'm responsible for the death of your whole family. Stay with me. Don't be afraid. The man who wants to kill you is trying to kill me too. You'll not be safe with me. He's saying, I'm responsible. Can you say something about David compared to Saul? David said, the reason that these 80 people got killed was because of me. That is an amazing characteristic of David compared to Saul. He took responsibility for his actions. And he told the young man, stay with us and I'll take care of you. I don't need to go there, but I just want to say to you. There's a story of David. He lost after Bathsheba. And he kills her husband. And again, he is confronted, remember? By Nathan. And what happens to him? David repents. He actually falls on his face and fasts and prays for 7 days for God's mercy. And God grants him mercy. Because he has a man after God's own heart. He knows. I just want to say this too. Why is David so eager to repent? Because it's not about people. It's about his relationship with God. And he shares in Psalm 51, you don't desire a sacrifice, but you desire a contrite heart. David has a relationship with God, and he doesn't want to lose it. Don't take the Spirit away from me. I don't want to lose my intimacy with you, God. No matter what it takes, please don't. You don't ever see that in Saul. How many are ready to repent and say, Lord, I want your heart? And so I'm going to end it with a few scriptures. Because you see, there is one more thing that I believe is completely the reason why David is called a man after God's own heart. And that's another whole sermon. But I'm going to share with you some of the scriptures that shows where his heart is. And that is in Psalm 23:6. Let's just read it together. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Go to the next one. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord in all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Let's do one more. In courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather do keep in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. And one more. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One. With shouts of joy and praise among a festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. What are they saying? All these scriptures we read. He's hungry for the presence of God. In a few minutes, we're going to take communion, which is Jesus' way of saying, bring in my presence. Next Sunday, I will to share with you how you, like David, become a man or woman after God's own heart. You see, when I ask the question, when I ask, Lord, can I pray, would you make me a man after God's own heart? There's a little voice in the back of my mind. Do you know what that voice says? It says, do I really want that? Do I really want that? Do I really want to be the one who steps out and slay the Goliath? Would I rather be sitting on the sideline and being watching Paul battle, watching some of you guys battling? Or would I actually be the one stepping into the battlefield? Because I can't shoot a slingshot. I'm not capable. I don't have a good aim. And you know what God says? The battle is not yours, hands. It's not yours. So David, my friends, had courage and boldness. Because he knew God's heart and he rose up in him. David had a humble heart. He knew how to repent. David may not see himself as great, but he saw God as great. And finally, his heart was a heart pursuing the presence of God. So Lord, I pray for your church this morning. They will have your heart. We will know what pleases you, God, and what make you cry out for justice. And so, Lord, I pray, Father, we will have the same boldness as Rosalie Parks. And I pray, Father, we will have the same boldness as David to pick up our word and declare it against the Goliath. I pray we'll have a willing heart to say, God, would you make me a man or woman after God's own heart? So thank you, Jesus.